السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن قارون كان من قوم موسى فبغى عليهم، وآتيناه من الكنوز ما إن مفاتحه لتنوء بالعصبة إذ قال له قومه لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and our sisters listening over receivers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very, very kind to us, very merciful to us. After all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb. He is our sustainer. He is that being who has brought us into existence from non-existence without any choice or application from our side. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtured us, provided the various faculties for us to conduct ourselves in this world. In terms of our physical bodies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us parents who cared for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who inspired them, put that mercy in the hearts of our mothers. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who turned that blood of the mother into milk to provide for us. And step by step, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is providing for our physical well-being. Yet, respected elders and brothers, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not merely created us for this world. But rather, we hear in our khutbahs, الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ, that this world has been created for you, but you have been created for the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of our needs in this world. But more so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken greater care of our spiritual needs, of that sustenance which will be our provisions for the akhirah. And it is in that light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Quran Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has continuously created avenues and ways for us to recognize Him and to gain His closeness. There are many, many different ways. If a person has got sincere talab, he has got real zeal and enthusiasm, then he can find his way into gaining the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَى. Whatever has been revealed in the Quran Sharif is shifa. So normally shifa, we normally associate it with physical cure of sicknesses. If a person is sick, so then if he reads some verse of the Quran Sharif, so he will get cured. But ulama ikram have explained that the shifa is not only referring to jismani bimariya, to physical sicknesses, but it is also referring to ruhani sicknesses. A person has got spiritual maladies and spiritual diseases. Our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab, rahmatullahi alayh, rahmatan wasi'atan, may Allah ta'ala fill his grave with noor. So he used to say that we are so concerned about the beautification of our physical bodies. If we look at the cosmetic industry and the different powders and all these kind of things, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. So he says we are so concerned about our physical beauty. But with regards to our physical hearts, the conditions of our hearts, our spiritual hearts rather, he says there we find that we show great neglect. So he says, we should try and brighten our hearts with the noor of taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Quran Kareem different incidents, different stories. And the purpose for these stories are not just mere, a person looks for some kind of good feeling in the heart, entertainment rather, that's the word I'm looking for. A person listens to a story for entertainment purposes. So that is not the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the various stories of the Anbiya, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the incident so that we may derive a lesson. And that lesson will be a means for us to protect ourselves from those mistakes which, for example, the nations of the past fell into. And it is in this light that the verses of Quran Sharif from Surah Qasas, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the incident of Qarun. Now this Qarun, he was from the family of Musa alayhi salam, and according to some ulama ikram, they state that he was the cousin of Musa alayhi salam. And he was also given knowledge. He was given knowledge of the scriptures of the Torah. But due to some incident, he felt that he should have also been given nubuwwat. So he became upset with Musa alayhi salam, فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ, so he turned against them. But in any case, this Qarun, he was overcome with the sickness of pride. Now the sickness of pride, respected elders and brothers, our ulama-i kiram have explained it to be Ummul Amrad, the mother of all sicknesses, the killer disease. It is this very sickness of pride which was the cause for shaitan becoming rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the incident where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Iblis to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. Of course, we cannot prostrate to anyone. But the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to obey the command. This was a direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we find that shaitan, he was overcome with pride, a superiority complex he was suffering from. And he was very, very pious. Indeed, he was very, very pious. We have heard our ulama explaining that he was an abid, he was an arif, he was an alim. He was a great worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said that there is not a spot on the earth wherein Iblis, his true name was Azazil, there is not a spot on the earth where this shaitan had not worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For thousands of years before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, he used to roam this earth. So when he saw Adam alayhi salam, he felt it below his dignity to lower himself before Adam alayhi salam. And he was overcome by pride. Aba wastakbar. Allah Ta'ala says, he refused and he became proud. He says, khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. A asjudu liman khalaqta teena. You have created me from fire and you've created him from sand. Must I prostrate to sand? He used his logic. Allah Ta'ala rejected him. And this was the cause for him being rejected. On this point, Hazrat Rahmatullah is to, a beautiful point he is to take out from this year. And he is to always look for lessons that we can derive. He used to say that, look at shaitan, look at Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to make one sajda. It was just one sajda that Allah Ta'ala commanded him to make. He rejected and refused to make one sajda. Allah Ta'ala threw him out of his court, rejected till the day of Qiyamah, going into the fire of Jahannam, cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Muslim, before he recites Quran Sharif, he says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, the rejected shaitan. So he is being cursed till the day of Qiyamah, just because he refused to make one sajda. He says, let us look at our lives. How many sajdas do we not make and continue to not make before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Salah is such an important thing. Ulama ikram have explained that salah is such a thing that a person who intentionally misses salah, then there is a whole discussion amongst the ulama ikram whether this person's iman is intact or not intact. So serious salah is. So sometimes we become very narrow-minded. A person thinks, well, I'm giving a charity. The Sahaba gave charity and they got salvation. The Sahaba-i-Kiram did a certain good deed and they got salvation. But we must understand it in the context that these Sahaba-i-Kiram, they were regular on their salah. Sahaba-i-Kiram mentioned themselves that even the munafiqeen, who we knew were munafiqeen, we knew they were hypocrites. But even they did not miss their salah with jama'ah. Even the munafiqeen in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not miss their salah with jama'ah. So, we will find if we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not a single salah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed intentionally. So therefore, coming back to what we are saying, the shaitan was rejected because of the same sickness, the same disease. So Qarun, he became very, very proud. He felt he is superior. And Allah Ta'ala gave him such treasures. مَا إِنَّا وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُؤُ بِالْعُسْبَةِ Allah Ta'ala gave him such a vast treasure, so much of wealth, that it is mentioned, and Allah Ta'ala explicitly mentions in the Quran Sharif that the keys of his treasure, a large group of powerful people had to carry the keys to his treasures. From this we can gauge the extent of the treasures that he had been blessed with. It was then mentioned to him, لا تفرح, do not become proud, because إن الله لا يحب الفريحين. Allah Ta'ala does not like it when a person is proud. Rather, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا The gist of this ayah is that he was advised that this wealth that Allah Ta'ala has granted you, use this wealth to invest in your akhirah. Use this very wealth to build your akhirah. Allah has given you this wealth, so use this wealth for your akhirah. It comes to mind, sometimes we find people in this world, that's why we must never be judgmental. But many a times you see certain people who are caught up in their worldly activities, whether it is their businesses, whatever it is. So sometimes that thought crosses the mind that this poor person, from the morning till the evening, he's working so hard, Monday to Sunday, he's got no time for the family, yet this person has got wealth. Sometimes you see a wealthy person, he's driving a wonderful car, a luxurious car, he's got a nice spacious home, he's got everything, but he's still working so hard, he needs to increase, he wants to buy more cars, he wants to upgrade his car. The tires in the bathroom are wonderful, but he wants better tires, they're a bit old now. 2 years I got the tires and I need to upgrade, I need better tires. So continuously he's working harder and harder. And this person in the process, he tires himself, his family life is destroyed. The children start looking for attention elsewhere. Sometimes even the wives start looking for attention elsewhere. So now, this poor person, when he closes his eyes, what will he get? That very wealth which he slogged so hard for, that very car which he was aspiring to achieve and he finally got it, that car will then be given to his heirs. That house will be distributed to his heirs. And he will go khali heart, empty handed into the grave. فَقَدْ سَاتْ تَرَيْ kafan jayega. The only thing that a person will go in the grave with will be his kafan. That is all. And if this person didn't invest in his akhirat, he was not an intelligent person and he did not invest in his akhirat, then unfortunately this person will be a real poor and beggar in the akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from this. But we must never judge other people. One alim was mentioning to me that there was a certain person who had a business, and Sunday to Sunday he was working so hard. From the morning 6 o'clock till 7 o'clock in the evening. And really, really working. So he had a good relationship with this person. So he told him, I think it's enough now. I think you are really overdoing it now. Why don't you cut down now, give some time for the family also? But then he explained, and this alim mentioned to me, it was an eye-opener for him. He said, this person told him, you see, Morana, the reality is this, that this business, there was a stage where I was in partnership with a few other people. And what had happened was, the business was really going down. To such an extent that we felt the entire business was going to crash. So we got together, we said, before this business crash, let's sell it. So he said, something just came into me. And I stood up and I said, I'll be the buyer. I'll buy it. But he said, at that point, I made a pledge to Allah Ta'ala. I said, Ya Allah, this business, whatever extra profits I get over and above my needs and necessities, I'm going to use it for the upliftment of your deen. I make a pledge. He says, Maulana, you won't believe it. Within 1 year, I paid both all my partners out. And he says that my business is flourishing to such an extent that in one entire province in South Africa, this person is supporting all the madaris in that province from one small little business. So he says, I saw with my own eyes how Allah Ta'ala, the more I'm giving for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, the more that is coming in my business. So the Maulana explained, he says that I thought that he was slogging for deen, for dunya, for this world. But then I realized he was actually working hard and he was really striving for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for akhirah. So we never know, sometimes you may see a person is really, really working hard. But at the same time, our Hazrat Rahmatullah used to always say, we must fulfill the rights of everybody. Our wives have got rights over us. Our children have got rights over us. Our employees have got rights over us. They also have children. They also have families. They also need quality family time. We have to be considerate of this. We have to take into consideration and we should have that sympathy for our workers and those beneath us. Nevertheless, coming back to the incident of Qarun. So Allah Ta'ala had given him such a vast treasure, he was advised, use this for akhirah. But then what happened? He became very, very proud. Once when he emerged in all his pomp and glory with all this wealth, so people of dunya, when they saw this, people of the world, people whose hearts was attached to the world, they did not realize the reality and the temporary nature of this world. They became awe-stricken. They were gripped with admiration. They said, how we wish we also had this wealth like Qarun. إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. He's a very, very fortunate person. So much of wealth he has, how fortunate he is. How we wish we had this wealth. There were some knowledgeable people. He says, وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَةِ. Don't get caught. Don't become intoxicated. The thawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your good deeds, for your a'mal, for that salah which you perform, for that charity which you give, that is far, far superior than this world. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the reality of the temporary nature of this world. Respected elders and brothers, if we just ponder of this one hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it really makes you understand what is the value of this world. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in a hadith, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا. That if this world was equivalent to the wing of a mosquito in the eye of Allah. لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا مَا سَقَى مِنْهَا كَافِرًا شَرْبَةَ مَاءٍ. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given the disbeliever, the kafir, one sip of water to drink. Now let us unpack this hadith and understand it in context. If a person has to go to a jewelry shop, and he goes to the jewelry shop, and he goes with a packet of mosquito wings. And he says, I'd like to buy this diamond ring, this diamond studded ring, 18 or 24 karat gold. I'd like to buy it for this packet of mosquito wings. Now we'll all find this quite amusing if this person is something wrong with it. That jeweler, he doesn't regard that wing of mosquitoes as worth anything. He says, you'd rather throw it outside. You can't purchase anything. This is exactly the value of this world in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even less than that. This hadith is that if the world was equivalent to the wing of a mosquito in the eye of Allah, that means if it even had that much value, if it had even that much value, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given the kafir one sip of water to drink, but because it is not even that, does not even have that much value, Allah ta'ala gives them plentiful, plentiful. Take, take. This world is not worth anything. So they mentioned to them that the thawab of Allah Ta'ala is far, far superior. It is normally masnoon on a Friday to recite in the Jummah Salah, Surah A'la, Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. So one verse there, Allah Ta'ala says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. O people, O mankind, you give preference to this dunya, this temporary dunya. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But in reality, the akhirat is much better and it is eternal, it is everlasting. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Whatever we have with us will always come to an end. It will terminate. It has got an expiry date. But وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. That which is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal, it is everlasting. Nevertheless, Qarun, he became very, very proud. He says, you know, this wealth, I have achieved it from my own good, my intelligence, my hard work, my good planning. I'm just explaining it. This is my achievement. Sometimes a person is a doctor, so he becomes a very, very good doctor and many people start benefiting from him. A person is a lawyer, he wins many, many cases. So it gets to the head. An alim, can happen to an alim as well. Many people are getting hidayah, changing their lives through his talks. A teacher is very capable in teaching. Students are understanding very well. So it gets to his head. He says, no, you know, I worked very hard in my student days. And that is how I achieved this. It is my hard work. But the reality is, respected elders and brothers, if we really ponder carefully, who is the one who gave that person the intelligence? Who is the one who made it possible for that person to learn? Who is the one who created the circumstances for that person to get that bounty? It is nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. Whatever bounty you have, whether it's worldly wealth, whether it's properties, whether it's intelligence, whether it's different degrees to our names, whether it's a good reputation in the hearts of people, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ. Any bounty, فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was listening to one bayan of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali in 2007, he delivered it. And he mentioned, this is the cure for pride. That when a person ponders carefully, when he is being praised, then immediately he says, he asks himself this question, who is the one who gave me this bounty? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give me this intelligence, I would never have been able to perform this task or achieve this particular credit which is given to my name. So in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will try and terminate on this hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam defines pride and he says, pride is batarul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Where a person refuses, he rejects the truth and he looks down upon other people. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, the opposite of pride is humility. And one beautiful hadith, just as I was entering the masjid, came to mind. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, Al-Badi'u bis-salam bari'un min al-kibr. That person who initiates salam, when he meets his Muslim brother, he's the first to make salam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this person will be free from pride. Because in reality, that person who is starting the salam, so he regards himself, this person is better than me. I will be the first to make salam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this quality of humility, of tawadu'. And may Allah Ta'ala protect us from this killer disease of pride, which is the cause of many, many problems in our community. As Mufti Zubair Sahib even last week mentioned the same thing, that conflict, if you find conflict, it is impossible for two people who have got humility to have a conflict. Yes, they may have a difference of opinion, but they will never have a conflict if both of them have got this quality of humility. May Allah Ta'ala grant us this quality. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He removes all the sicknesses from our communities, from ourselves. Allah ta'ala purify the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remove the difficulty, the calamities, and bless us with hasana fi dunya wal akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.